You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Hi, I'm Maggie. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Maggie.
I'm going to talk about the fifth step today because that's what I've been asked to do. My experience, strength, and hope with it, and a little bit about just a short, and you all know me very well at this meeting, but kind of a short summary of what was going on in my life and how I got here. So the fifth step, admitted to God, to myself, and another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. And then the principle is integrity. And what I have, what my understanding of what integrity is, well, first of all, I think that the core meaning of the word is wholeness. And it is about the core, your core, the truth, the wholeness. So it's, how does my behavior line up with the things that are most important to me in my life and what I believe about? So that's the integrity. And the fifth step is supposed to help us with that, which it does, because I think being a human being, the need to be right is very strong, especially in this human being. And so there are a lot of justifications for my behavior and a lot of denial around addictive behavior. I like literally didn't see it, probably because I was swimming in the middle of it in my family of origin. So you don't see what you're already swimming in the middle of. So I started out in Al-Anon 42 years ago. So that was my introduction to 12 steps. And I came into Al-Anon extremely distressed. And I had a good marriage for many years. My husband, alcoholism developed slowly. And then we were living here in the Bay Area, and he took a job back east for a year. And then they were going to decide where we were going to, in quote, move to. And during that year, he got well into his alcoholism. And I could start to see that when he came home, but I didn't have a label for it. And I agreed, although I was terrified. So I don't have any regrets about this. It's just the way it happened, to move to Florida, because that's where this thing they were plan they were developing around in his company, where it ended up. And so I was kind of flung out in the middle of nowhere, and it created a lot of desperation for me because I didn't know who I was, where I was, what was happening, lots of fear, high levels of fear. So I was very desperate. And I think, if I remember correctly, I did do a 12-step, but it was not, it didn't seem like it was really, really very clear for me. And I realized that I had problems with food all along, and I think those had started when I started having a family. And so between the ages of 21 and 31, I have 5 kids. And I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was a young lady, I didn't know, think I was a good person. So I was doing my best, whatever that was. So, we live and learn. And I was, I think due to the stress of the whole recovery process, and my husband didn't get into recovery until 8 years after I was in Al-Anon, and our family was coming apart. So what I'm trying to refer to, that I realized from doing my fifth step and then looking back, is my level of stress was very high. And it continued for a long time, even in recovery. There were a lot of gifts of recovery. My husband finally went into 28-day in-house treatment, and we did a lot of work there. Then we did couples therapy and blah, 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 blah. So everything, I think, got better, but I went back to school and got my doctorate, which took me a million years. So, and I knew I had been teaching school, and I knew I was done, and I wasn't going to teach anymore. And what my intuition led me to was to go back to this grad school that I discovered, because their foundations were based on
5 minutes
spiritual practices. And I had already learned from Veen and Ellen on that that was the way to go. But grad school is very stressful, so I loved it. I had a wonderful time. It was beautiful years of education, but highly stressful, you know? And we were in recovery, and I participated fully. My deal with my husband, I'll come back to the marriage, we'll do the marriage as long as you're in this and you're doing the work, I will do the work, or the couple's work. So we had a lot of changes going on. I think that level of stress just kept my eating going, kept it going, kept it going, kept it going. And my denial was huge. It's like on one level, I knew I kind of had this problem with food, but I didn't really realize it. I didn't identify it as an addiction, which would have been very helpful. So anyway, a friend of mine suggested I got into OA, and I just had this light bulb go off to go to the meeting. And then lots of light bulbs went off. It's like, well, go to the meeting, but you're not going to just go. You're going to get a sponsor. You're going to do everything they tell you to do, which I certainly didn't do in Al-Anon. I had a very bumpy recovery in Al-Anon. And so I don't know. I'm just really glad for those light bulbs. I guess we could call it grace, you know. And so I was willing to do exactly what I was told. And I was about 50 pounds overweight. And within 4 months, I had lost all the weight I needed to lose. And around that time, I couldn't continue with my sponsor, who was a great sponsor because she had tons of weight to lose. And she wasn't in maintenance yet. So I was kind of looking around for a maintenance sponsor, and I had to do my 4-step. So what I want to bring out is that it was very important for me to pick somebody that I felt I could trust. And I definitely had issues with trust. It's like, you know, I trusted that 12-step was a pretty safe place to be, but I had a lot of feelings of betrayal about just all the years of what addiction had done on the alcoholic level and the codependency level. And so I was very careful listening and watching and praying to find somebody who would be compassionate and a really good listener. I wouldn't have done well with somebody who was harsh at all. That was like, so anyway, let's see. I wrote down some things here, and I don't want to leave them out. I think I chose, there are many ways we can do our fourth step, and I did my fourth and fifth kind of together. Like I did choose somebody, and it ended up being the perfect person for me. She was so compassionate, a great listener, and so I did those big long questions, and how is it 250 questions or something like that? But it's good that I did it. I felt like it was kind of crazy. I felt like this is obsessive. It's so, you know, but I just did it. I just went, that's the one she suggested. It's the one I'll do. Just do it. So I would do a group of them, and then I would meet her in the park and just share what I had going. And until I worked my way through it. So let me see. So what, let me Let's see, let me see. I wrote down some stuff that I feel that I got out of the doing my fifth step. Let's see. Okay, so this one I wrote, I was trying to make a list of looking back what I see the fifth step has helped me with. And so one of them is I see other ways of doing things than my old ways, and I just got some mental clarity around my behavior from doing it and patterns of my behavior. So it made the reality of my food addiction very clear by just doing that. It's lots of light bulbs going off. Could really identify and believe that I could see the addictive piece of it, because this has been going on for years and years and years. And then another thing that I saw that I was very glad that I chose my person that was listening to my fifth step carefully, because I did need someone who was compassionate, and I did need someone, I think I must have been very harsh on myself. I didn't see it, but I held maybe impossible standards for my behavior, and believe me, I didn't live up to all of them. So I really did need somebody who was not going to be in any way like kind of a scolding person or harsh at all. So another thing I got out of it was a release of shame. And that I began, and over time I've seen that just working with other people in OA about, I don't see this as a shameful thing, it's an addiction. And it's a painful thing to go through, and none of us choose to go through this. And I don't, to me, I think it's very helpful to be able to really understand that it's an addiction. And the other thing I got out of doing my fifth step is that I could forgive myself more deeply, more completely. So I could have compassion for myself. I didn't let myself off the hook. I saw that, you know, there were periods of time in my Al-Anon recovery where I was very addictive in my behavior. It's like, it was like, oh God, I was that bad, yeah? The behavior was, I wasn't. You know, I was wanting to get better, wanting to be healthy. So I think it helped me feel more accepting of my humanity and my vulnerability. And it helped me also be more empathic and less judgmental of other people. When I heard other people tell about things that happened in their lives, my heart would open and I would start to really go, you know, if I did that, I mean, it's kind of like, I was trying hard to be this really great person in recovery, and man, I really screwed up a lot of times. So it's kind of like I could really feel for the other person. And then another thing I got out of it is I became much clearer on how I had created much of my own hardship by my response to what was going on. And that if I could see where I had done it even in my recovery in Al-Anon, but then I could look at the eating part of it and go how my understanding of food and how to deal with food, my intake of food, my relationship with food, I didn't see as how unhealthy it was, and it was, you know. But that wasn't my, you know, in a way it wasn't my fault. I felt like I was doing the best I could. I just didn't know. So I could also see patterns in my behavior by doing this fifth step, especially such a complete fifth step. So I could see that I was a workaholic. I was. I didn't have enough fun. I was just like busy, 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 busy. If you have 5 kids in 10 years, you're going to be really very busy. And then not only that, I go back to school. I hadn't finished college. I went back to school between the fourth and fifth kid. And then I got my degree, and then I did a fifth year, and then I, you know, it's like, come on. Yeah, like, and then overdoing everything. Didn't know what was enough, you know, had a six bedroom house. It was really nice to have this nice big house that we found out in Pleasanton where we have rooms for our kids. But did I have a lot of help in the house? No, I didn't even ask for it. So it's kind of like really, you know, that's sad. Anyway, learning that nothing could be changed unless we first accept it. And not only accept it, but really see it. See it for what it really is, you know. And not only that, I felt my own strength in doing the fifth step, because it is scary and it is hard to do, but it is very, very rewarding. And I still, you know, I do my 10th step every day, and I haven't done other four steps. Would be okay to do it, but, you know, I'm pretty serious about, I'm very mindful about my thoughts, my thought patterns. I know my habits. That's a gift of the fifth step.
Five?
Oh, I'm like a dog. So, it's like, I know myself very well. I know where my weak points are. I know where I can cave in and, you know, I know where it gets dangerous around eating. I know when I'm gonna be vulnerable. And so, like when things are really rough, and I've had some really rough times with my husband's health in the last, I would say 10 years, you know, life-threatening things. And it's kind of like, I had to be very determined to, you know, make a plan with my sponsor around my eating and how I was gonna do that, and to do my daily prayers and meditation. That's when the going gets tough, the tough need to get going. Because otherwise, you know, we're not going to make it. So, and I'm so glad about that. And so that's the one thing. I've trained my husband to put up with my habits. So I have, in the morning, I take a lot of time to, I take a call from a sponsee, and then I have a lot of times for prayer and meditation and journaling. And that's it. It's like I'm not going to give in to not doing that, you know, because I don't want to go back to where it was, and there have been too many gifts and too many blessings that have come out of what I've learned in this program, you know, and all the support I get from everybody else's shares and their honesty, and, you know, I think that's all I have.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Overeaters Anonymous podcast, hit the like button and subscribe to receive future episodes. If you are looking for a meeting online or in person, visit www.oamidpeninsula.org.